Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. A little trivia to start off today's message. How much music does the average person listen to each and every year? Go ahead and throw your guesses at me. How much music does the average person listen to each and every year? And not all at once here. Three months, you say? A quarter of the year? Any other guesses? 6 months. 50% of the time, Dave Teske is listening to music. Any other guesses? I will say that no one has been super close yet. Do I need a prize for the winner here? I've got two guesses so far. All right, I'll just show you. The average person listens to 961 hours and 10 minutes. That's just a hair over 40 days of music each and every year. 40 24-hour days. We listen to a lot of music, and that's just the average person. I know the Ryan family, we listen to a lot of music. We actually use this music subscription service called Spotify. And at the end of the year, Spotify gives your listening stats, and that includes the total time listened and the top 10 plus songs that you listen to over the course of the year. And according to Spotify, on this service alone, the Ryan family listened to just over 10 days worth of music. The song that we listened to the most in 2024, that would be Real Gone. It's the theme song from the movie Cars. If we listen to 10 days worth of music on Spotify, probably 9 days were spent listening to Real Gone. My boys love this song. No matter what they are doing when it comes on, they will put it down and they will start racing around whatever room they're in, be it the kitchen, the dining room, the bathroom. They just love this song. Right behind it on our top 10 list was a song called I'm Into Something Good by Herman's Hermits. Who knows this one? Written back in the 60s, but we love this song today in the Ryan family. It brought us so much joy this year. Whenever this song would come on, our boys would once again stop whatever they were doing, and they would come and dance with mom and dad, whoever was the closest. Just love this song. Taking up several spots in our top 10 were songs by the praise and worship band City Alight. We really, really enjoy these guys. Whenever they would come on, it would put us in such a worshipful mood. They helped us feel and actually get closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Highly recommend them, City of Light. In fact, so many of our favorite songs that we listen to, they just seem to change us a little bit, don't they? They seem to change the way we think, the way we feel, even the way that we act. And I would say that's actually true about more than just the songs that we listen to. I think what we listen to in general, be it the news we listen to, the people we spend regular time listening to. These things heavily influence our thoughts, feelings, and actions. Today, you're going to spend about the next 20 minutes or so listening to me give you a sermon on the transfiguration of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is a lot we could learn from the story of the transfiguration. But we're going to focus on one thing in particular today. The words that Jesus gets spoken over him by God the Father. God says during this event, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." We're going to talk about the many benefits that we get from listening to Jesus, benefits that change the way we think, feel, and act. And we're going to talk likewise about the benefits we leave on the table when we leave Jesus off of our playlist. Let's dig into that story right now from Luke 9. It says, about 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Now, who knows what Peter, John, and James were expecting when they went up the mountain that day with Jesus? Maybe they thought they were going to get a little prayer time, an object lesson. Maybe they thought they were just going for a nice stroll. What they got was this absolutely incredibly show-stopping event, the transfiguration of Jesus. It's described in several gospel accounts. says that Jesus' face shone like the sun, that his clothes became as a flash of lightning. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. The transfiguration can be kind of a confusing event to understand what its purpose is and what's going on. But at its core, at its simplest, it is God revealing to the world, Jesus revealing to the world that he is not just man, he is fully God. The people there that day and the people who hear this story today, they get to see the full radiance and glory of God, that Jesus is not just fully man, but fully and 100% God. Peter, one of the three men present, he reflects on this later on in 2 Peter 1:16. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." We saw it, right? He saw that Jesus was not just man, but King of kings, Lord of lords, fully God. And that's not all he saw that day either. The story continues. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. Now, if you know nothing about Moses and Elijah, understand this. These guys in the Old Testament, they are very, very important. Moses is probably the most revered person in all of Judaism. He's the one who brings them the law, the Ten Commandments. He brings all 613 laws that they are supposed to follow. And right behind him, perhaps on that top 10 list of most important characters in the Old Testament, Elijah. He's not just a prophet, he's a prophet amongst prophets. This is a man who's so special, so revered, that he is one of two people in the history of mankind to be taken away to heaven without experiencing death. He's taken away in that whirlwind. And together, as we look at Moses and Elijah on Transfiguration Day, they represent the law and the prophets. And any good Jewish person of that time would have told you there is nothing more important than listening to the law and the prophets. That is who you are to listen to above all else. And it certainly is worth it for us to listen to the law and prophets today. In fact, it benefits us in many ways. Moses says in Deuteronomy 10:13, "To observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good." God does not just give us arbitrary laws. What he tells us to do is to our benefit when we do that. And so it was to the benefit of anybody to listen to the law and the prophets above everything else. Until Jesus. The story continues, Luke 9:34. "While Peter was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, 'This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him.'" God appears in this cloud. Maybe it's a little bit like the Old Testament story when the Israelites follow that pillar of cloud through the wilderness. And from this cloud, God speaks. He says over Jesus, "This is my son, and you should listen to him above all else." And that includes everyone who's present, by the way. Jesus and the words he says, as important as the law and prophets are, and they are very, very important, the words that Jesus says, even more important. And someone like Moses, who was there that day, he wasn't surprised by this. In Deuteronomy 18:15, he says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." It's confirmed in the New Testament in Hebrews 1. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." Everyone there at the Transfiguration was to listen to Jesus above all else, including Moses and Elijah. And if Moses and Elijah are to listen to Jesus, so should we. And it goes beyond a should, by the way. Notice what God doesn't say over Jesus at the Transfiguration. He doesn't say, "This is my son whom I have chosen. It would be nice if you listened to him." He doesn't say, "This is my son whom I have chosen. It would be really good for you to listen to him." This is a command. It's not optional. And unfortunately, so many people, including people here right now, including myself at times, treat this command, depending on the time of day, like it is optional. I love listening to 90s country. Does anybody here like listening to 90s country? Ah, that's a disappointing amount of hands in the air. Huh? But I get it, all right? I have had this conversation with many a person before. When they hear that I like 90s country, they'll say, well, Pastor Ryan, that's great. That's good for you. It's just not for me. And I say, that's fine. If you don't want to listen to Travis Tritt and Toby Keith and Alan Jackson, that is your loss, all right? Unfortunately, some people treat listening to Jesus a little bit like that, don't they? They'll say, listening to Jesus is something that works for you. That's great. It's just not my thing. That's not the way it works. It is not optional. It is a command that God gives us here. And like any command that God gives us, it's for our own good. The words of Moses, again, observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. So as we roll into the back half of this sermon here, what are the many benefits that we get from listening to Jesus? Well, first, as we listen to Jesus, we're going to understand how we can love and serve God better. In John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. How are we going to know what his commandments are if we're not spending regular time listening to his words and what he wants us to do? And as we listen to his commandments, as we learn how we can love and serve God better, we're going to learn something else. We're going to see that we are failing when it comes to serving God and following his law in every way, shape, and form. 1 John 1:8. You actually already said this morning if you were listening to the words coming out of your own mouth. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, every person in this room, every person anywhere is a sinner. And sin has consequences. Jesus actually outlines those consequences in part in Matthew 5:20. He says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, there is no way you will enter into the kingdom of heaven. I know sometimes we give the Pharisees a pretty hard time, and they deserve it, right? They get a bad rep for a reason. But let me say this about the Pharisees in the Gospels. They tried really hard. They tried really hard to follow God's law. They were misguided. They thought they could be right by their own actions, but they tried really hard to follow God's law. They were so meticulous in their keeping of the law that they would even tithe from the small spices obtained from their herb gardens. And what did Jesus just say? If you listen to his words, he says, if you're only as good as the Pharisees, if you're only trying as hard as the Pharisees, the kingdom of heaven, it's not for you. And I'll just talk for myself personally here. As I look at my own life and as I read about the Pharisees, I think there are plenty of times that I don't try as hard as the Pharisees did. If you think you're in the same boat, if you find yourself in my shoes, keep on listening to the words of Jesus. Because just as we will see that we are failing when it comes to serving God and following his law, as we listen to Jesus, we will realize that though we are great sinners, we have an even greater Savior who loves us incredibly. How about a classic? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's love right there in one verse. God the Father loves you an incredible amount. God the Son loves you an incredible amount. And they showed it. Jesus showed it on the cross, described here in Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. Pierced, crushed, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Those are some violent, violent words. And what Jesus went through on the cross for you was violent, violent business. If you look up these words in the dictionary, pierced is to simply have a hole bore through. And crushed is to be pulverized. And Jesus certainly had holes bore through his hands and his feet on the cross with those nails. He was absolutely pulverized on the cross. And if that doesn't show his love, I don't know what would. Last week, Last Sunday, I came home from church. My boys weren't here last Sunday. They weren't feeling well. They had a little bit of a stomach bug. It was not pleasant. And when I got home, oh, they looked so, so miserable. And I looked at my two little boys and I said this, if I could take this sickness from you, I would. And you know what? I meant it. I 100% would take it from them if I could. In fact, as a dad, I'll tell you, that would have been the easier solution. Think about how much God the Father must love you then. Because God the Father let God the Son go to the cross, go through the cross, which as a father, I think is almost certainly worse. And Jesus, he willingly went to the cross for you, despite being perfect, despite being 100% God. He takes your sickness, your sin onto himself, and he dies to pay the price that you owed, that I owed, for our sins, so that we could have an eternal relationship with him, one that starts now and lasts forever. And that is love. And it puts love described in 1 John 4:10 into a little better perspective. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that kind of love, as you hear about it again and again and again, it's going to cause you to respond. As we hear about Jesus' love for us, we will respond and love our neighbors and God all the more. You won't be able to help it. We will respond. We love because he first loved us. And that love is also going to cause you to do something else too. It's going to cause you to draw nearer and be drawn nearer into your relationship with God. And closeness with God comes with all kinds of benefits. This is just a very partial list here. As you listen to God and Jesus regularly and are drawn into that relationship with him, you're going to experience regular forgiveness, mercy, and grace. And we need those things all the time, don't we? You're going to experience his guidance, wisdom, peace, joy, patience, any one of those fruits of the Spirit, purpose, encouragement. Your faith is going to be strengthened. You're going to become more and more like Jesus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That is a lot of benefits as we listen to Jesus' words regularly in prayer, in worship, and in his word. Now, as we close this message today, I just have one final thought. I know that you've probably heard sermons like this one before. Maybe this is not new information, pastor telling you Jesus loves you and to spend time with him in his word, in worship, in prayer. But my prayer for you this week is if you have not started actively doing that in your everyday life, if you have simply let our words fall on deaf ears, may you embrace God's word, spend time listening to the words of Jesus regularly. Understand that this listening that God says in Luke 9:35, this is not a passive listening. This is an active listening. It's the kind of listening discussed in James 1:22 and 25. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. It is such an incredible blessing to listen to the words of Jesus regularly and do what they say. Most of all, this is the important one right here. As you listen to them regularly, you're going to once again realize that though you are a great sinner, you have an even greater Savior in Jesus who loves you incredibly. May that be music to your ears each and every day in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you and God bless you.